This episode of Nothing Major is sponsored by Huel. Mornings for me feel like a race. Wake up, check emails, maybe squeeze in a workout, and then suddenly I'm supposed to be at a meeting. Cooking? Not happening. That's why I always keep Huel Black Edition around. In literally under a minute, I've got a complete meal ready to go. 40 grams of plant protein, 27 vitamins and minerals. It's everything I need to start the day. And the flavors don't taste like some weird science experiment. Salted caramel is actually really good, and it keeps me full till lunch.
Meanwhile, I'm the guy who forgets breakfast completely and just hopes coffee counts as nutrition. Spoiler, it doesn't. So I've been grabbing Huel's new daily green cans. And honestly, they're a game changer. Sparkling, light, refreshing, and not green sludge. The blueberry one is my favorite, but apple and peach are solid too. You're getting 42 vitamins, minerals, and superfoods in every can. Only 25 calories, 1 gram of sugar, and 4 grams of fiber. It feels like you're cheating, but in a good way.
So whether you need a real breakfast, a post-gym meal, or just a simple way to cover your nutrition gaps, Huel's got both ends covered.
Try Huel with 15% off for new customers today using our code NOTHINGMAJOR15 at Huel.com/NOTHINGMAJOR15. Fuel your best performance with Huel today.
All right, everyone, coming up on Something Major, there is lots to unpack from day 5 here at the U.S. Open. 3 of us are on site right now doing this pod, so let's get it started. All right, Something Major is back. John Isner, once again, in really close proximity to Sam Querrey, on a bus.
Yeah.
We're on a bus right now, as you might be able to tell.
Parked right outside of Ash Stadium.
You guys are in your motorhome. I will say, I feel underdressed in this episode, boys. You look good.
But we do look good.
You look very good.
Stevie's only, you're like 500 yards for us in the stadium right now.
I'm in the 17th floor of Arthur Ashe Stadium calling. I'm probably going to get kicked out here. So if you guys see me moving around in the episode, that's just, I'm just trying to find a spot to pod from, you know, that's what I'm trying to do.
That's commitment. We are sort of winging this, guys. The audio doesn't sound good, or, you know, we don't have our headphones because we're sharing a mic and it's just a lot going on. Jack Sock is in Las Vegas playing pickleball. He texted us because he's good at pickleball and he actually wins matches. He's advanced into the next round. He's playing singles and doubles, so he can't join us on the pod right now, which is a bummer, but again, that's his problem because he's good at pickleball and he wins. So all right, but let's get it going. Let's start on the men's side. By the way, getting all of us together is difficult, and there's time changes and producers in London, this and that, so we're not all of round two is completely done. We're doing this right now at 5 o'clock Eastern on Thursday, so when you guys listen to this tomorrow, we're not going to have the Coco Golf result or the Tommy Paul result.
Yeah, there's a handful of matches going on right now. We're just not going to have everything.
So, but we got a lot. We got a lot. But we needed to, and we wanted to get this out at the exact same time we did 2 days ago. One of the big stories from the men's side was the number 5 seed, Jack Draper, withdrawing. His opponent, Zizou Bergs of Belgium, gets a walkover in like 3 full days off.
Yeah.
Maybe even 4. I don't know. It sounds like a lot.
How good is that if you're Zizou Bergs? Like, it was the day before they were supposed to play. So, you know, he didn't even have to, like, stress out the night before, any time of the morning of. He just basically gets a full 72 hours off and, like, an extra 85 grand to just walk into the third round.
And take over the number 5 seed slot in the draw.
Yep.
So,
Draper now hasn't played. He's played one mixed doubles tournament now and made the semifinals here in the U.S. Open.
But he won the first round. And one mixed doubles.
How bummed is Vuori? He just signed with Vuori and he pulls out. I mean, it's a long relationship. It's not like a one-off.
Someone told me that his deal is also, there's a modeling component to it as well. He's a very good-looking guy.
Yeah.
That makes sense. He's a good-looking guy.
So, like, they don't have to pay another male model. I don't know how much money they make. So
I don't think male models make a lot of money, right? Isn't that a thing?
I think females make more. But,
unless you're Zoolander.
Good tennis talk.
That's it. So he's a good looking guy. So, but you know, bone bruise in his arm. I don't know if you guys ever had a bone bruise. There's quite literally nothing you can do besides rest.
Yeah,
you
just
can't
wait
do
it out.
Anything. You can't do anything. And he thought he was ready, but also, as you know, practicing, there's not much intensity on the practice court. It's much different. He played a 4 set.
I mean, he looked good in round 1. I mean, he did look good, a little rusty, right? But it's just a bummer for the tournament because he made semis here last year. So that's a tough one for the event. He's somebody that's very dangerous and could have contended for something, a U.S. Open title potentially.
No way. and everyone's contending for a semifinal, and Yannick Sinner are the only two.
Yeah, Draper's
no one's a contender. No one's a contender besides two people.
Draper was never a contender this year. He had a good draw. I mean, right, Stevie? I know he made semis last year, but not like, let's be real. He hasn't played.
I didn't say he was a likely winner. I said he was a potential contender.
No, he's not.
Yeah.
Okay, fair. Okay.
No one's a contender. There's two contenders.
All right.
To be clear.
I'm glad. At least you're on board with two contenders now. Like a week ago, you said there was one contender. So
Daniil Medvedev got $42,500 fine. I saw you were on ESPN and you said the over under. I feel like that's a little light.
I thought it was light. I thought he should have been fined $100,000, honestly.
Stevie?
Look, as the fine expert of the group here,
yeah,
he should have been fined more probably. And I'm guessing there's some escalators because it's happened before. You know, it's not the first time he's done these types of things. So, but that's still, that's half of a first round prize money. That even at Medvedev, that still has to sting a little bit. You know, you're walking home.
Yeah.
You know, half the money, not a great year so far. But yeah, that was it's a healthy $42,000 fine.
Is that how it works, Stevie? If you're like a repeat offender?
If you're a repeat offender, you get, I wouldn't know from experience. I was always a first time offender. But yeah, there's some escalators in there, you know. You could probably petition and appeal the ATP, but likely that he will continue to get fined with the way he, you know, incites the crowd every now and again.
That's it. Okay, before we talk about the American men, let's talk about the two favorites, number one and number two. Yannick Sinner just finished his match. Sam was courtside for it the whole time. He interviewed him on the court, correct?
Yep.
I was in the car. Interviewed him on the court after the match. Carlos Alcaraz, absolute beatdown last night over Matea Bellucci. Obviously, both in the third round, neither one of them have been troubled. But, Stevie, who do you think, and it's obviously super early, they got lots of room to improve. Who's been the most impressive through two rounds? Again, small sample size right now. Alcaraz or Sinner?
I would say Alcaraz has looked more impressive just because, not that he's ever lost like first rounds of slams, but he has these matches where he loses sets or he loses focus and kind of has those moments. And he has come out laser focused the first two rounds, absolutely just smoking the ball, moving great. He's played extremely well, hasn't skipped a beat since Cincinnati. So, I mean, we know Sinner has pretty much walked through a lot of these guys. I mean, we know that it was either at the French or Wimby where he was going like, you know, 30, 40 minutes at the beginning of matches where he didn't lose a game. So Sinner has always been dialed in at the beginning. Alcaraz usually gets there at the end of the tournament. So for me, he's been just more impressive early because he's just, you know, workmanlike. He goes out there, takes care of business. And, you know, for him, that's going to be important because he's going to have a little tough half of the draw here for him to get to a final and beat Sinner.
I agree. Alcaraz has been doing the night session too. It's more on the line, not more on the line, but more eyes energy. On you, more energy. It's like a little more pressure. But both of these guys are doing what Fed Nadal Djokovic did for a decade, where like those first few rounds, they're just beating guys in under 2 hours. They're wasting zero energy. There's sets that aren't even close. And that's what like, they're starting to like get even more and more into that conversation with Roger and Rafa and Novak because of that.
Yeah. And Sinner, you said, Sam, he served like well below 50% first serve percentage.
Yeah, well below.
He was at 38% midway through the third set.
Yeah.
And he won 6-3, 6-2, 6-2.
Yeah. But he pulled it pretty well. But I guess in that match against Popperin, he was down break points like in both sets. And then all of a sudden he gets out of that game and then breaks in love right away. So like even when he gets like a sniff of an opportunity. Sort of. Hey, Mary, do you want me to move? I'm just doing our podcast. You want to say hi? You want to say hi to Sammy Jones?
Oh my gosh, Mary Perillo. This is unbelievable.
What a surprise guest.
You can't hear the headphones in, but yeah,
we're
15 minutes. Thanks, Mary.
That was...
You caught it, Steve.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm probably going to get fired from World Feed. Guys, it's been a good run. I'm in Mary Carrillo's office right now.
No.
And she's getting ready to call the night match.
These are quick episodes. You're good. She's chill. Mary's awesome.
Yeah, Mary's great. She's the best.
Okay. Neither one of them have been broken yet. I mean, they haven't faced their best competition. I was at Alcaraz's match last night. I was watching it from Ash. Did you watch that match live by any chance?
No, because I was calling
Sheldon. Holy crap. The ball coming off this guy's racket right now, especially on the forehand side.
We've never seen anything like it. It's over 100 miles an hour consistently. Gosh.
He's within a foot of either sideline, the baseline. It was unbelievable how hard he was hitting the ball and serving well too. So I'm with you, Stevie. I think Alcaraz looks better right now. It doesn't really mean much. I mean, Sinner has a long way to go, obviously, especially on that first serve percentage.
But it means nothing until these guys play each other. But, you know, it's good for Alcaraz to look good early because that's the only time that he's kind of looked beatable. I mean, if that's even possible.
I have a funny story from last night. I'm doing this suite visit for IBM. And Sam, you were talking about on the telecast the other night how Armstrong is more of the – Louis Armstrong is more of like the hardcore.
It's the people's court.
It's the people's court. Arthur Ashe is more of the corporate court.
Yeah.
And so I like to compare it to like Arthur Ashe is like Madison Square Garden for a Rangers game, right? And then the other arena is like the Islanders. They're like the people's like the hardcore yeah. fans, like the New York Islanders fans. So anyways, I'm in Ashe and I'm talking to this guy and he has no clue who I am, which is totally yeah. fine. By the way, I take zero offense to that. And I start quizzing him. I'm like, okay, well, do you know who Carlos Alcaraz is? He goes, no. I go, you've never heard of Carlos Alcaraz? He goes, no. I go, okay. Have you heard of Jannik Sinner? He goes, no. I said, have you heard of Roger Federer? He goes, I've heard that name before. And I said, what about Rafa Nadal? Never heard of him.
Never.
in the suite?
Unbelievable. You know, he was a guest.
The tennis fans on Ash are like some of the worst.
And he's from Buffalo and apparently lives under a rock in Buffalo, New York. So
do you find that like worse? Or I feel like I would get this all the time. Like if you're just, you know, walking around like, you know, it's, you know, do you guys play against like Agassi or Connors or these guys? I'm like, no, these guys are like 60 years old. Like, it's not the case.
I'm sorry. We tuned you out there.
Yeah,
I don't know what you said.
I don't know if I should keep going. You guys are looking around.
I'm sorry. John McEnroe.
A major celebrity just walked in.
Yeah. Johnny Mac. We're doing our podcast.
Podcast right now.
Come on, Johnny.
You want to peek in or no?
Oh my God. This is unbelievable.
No,
you don't have to. You know, we don't have to take a lot of your time. We had to find a quiet place. We didn't know anyone was going to come in here.
I'll just move.
Wow. This is huge.
Look at this.
We're not going to get you on camera. This is unbelievable.
You're making us money right now, I feel like. Look at this.
Oh my gosh.
How good is this?
So, Steve, what's up?
Hey, John, how are you?
I'm great.
Okay. So, Johnny Mac, I'm going to ask you a question real quick. And I know you just called Sinner's match, so you've been working. Did you call Alcaraz's match last night?
I did.
Okay. Was the ball coming off his racket like different than it's ever been? I mean, I was there. I was in the stadium last night. It was absurd.
He had a forehand that I think was like 110 or something. So I said, this guy's, he's going to be okay. I think he's got a future.
Sinner Alcaraz.
Let's not even do that. Right now we're going to talk Americans, Francis, Taylor, and Ben. They all looked very good. Yes. Well, Taylor didn't play that well. Ben looked especially good. Of the American guys, of those three guys, there's still some yet to play. Who do you like right now between those three guys in this tournament?
Ben. Okay. I like Ben the most. He plays Alcaraz in the quarters, not that we're jumping ahead. Yeah. I think he's got the best chance of winning the first major for an American for a while. Taylor's like the solidest guy, you know, never beats himself, incredible competitor.
Yep.
Francis, I call him the hugger. I love Francis, but, you know, you got to have that killer instinct, grab the guy by the throat. I haven't quite seen that yet from him. Tommy, it's not 100%, I don't believe, so I don't see that happening. But we're inching our way closer, folks.
I feel like we are.
For the millions that are listening to this podcast.
Billions,
right now.
Actually.
Billions. I thought it might have been billions. But at least millions.
Yeah, it's high millions, at least. So
it's amazing. Yep. You guys are kicking ass.
Hey, thank you.
Take it up, man. You want to kick me out?
No, we feel like we're bothering you.
I got an appearance in a half hour, so I'm, you know, I got.
So you're like, you're good to do the pod?
I'm sitting back.
This is a fucking rundown. Okay, here we go. All right, rundown.
I got a question for John. Well, I mean, while we have him here, what do you think about Medvedev's outburst?
Besides loving every minute of it.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, I think it's great for the crowd. It's like, it's great, but seems detrimental to his tennis, where maybe for some of us in this room, it actually raised our level.
Well, you know, he already has tapped out like months ago. So, you know, I've been worried about his level because he doesn't know what the hell he's doing at this point to me, for a guy that's that good on hard courts. So this sort of cemented it, like how little confidence he has in anything. But I was sort of hoping, I got to admit, not, you know, at Bonzi's expense, because he showed a lot of balls at the end to me in the fifth set. But I was sort of hoping Medvedev would win that. If I was Bonzi, by the way, I would have, at about 3 minutes into this 6 or 7 minute break, I would have said, you know, put up the ball and said, I'm not I don't even need a first serve.
Yep.
Here's a ball. Yes. Second serve, I'm going to win anyway. Medvedev probably would have missed the return.
Yeah.
We wouldn't be talking about this, but he's got to get his act together. I'm not sure he can. I think he's, you know, so lost right now. I'm not sure what's going to happen with him in the future. I always like Daniil, and he's something about the U.S. Open that brings out the best and worst of him.
Yeah. And by the way, Bonzi came back from two sets of love down in his second match and won again.
Garone. Against Marcos
the French
Garone.
Are on fire. The French players are showing, you know, a lot of heart out there, which is good to see. You know,
yeah,
I think even Rinder Kinesh won, and they believe it or not, Bonzi Rinder Kinesh play each other.
They do, and they both won five setters.
Wow,
exactly right.
How long you guys been doing this podcast, by the way?
A little more than a year. We're about 56 weeks old or something like that.
And I was just wondering, any reason why you never called me to ask me to
because
do this?
Like,
I had to come in this goddamn box.
Yeah,
we don't want to bother you, John.
It's an intimidating ask.
It's an intimidating ask.
No, come on. I've always been approachable.
You are very approachable. I agree. Very approachable.
You've been on my team at Laver Cup a handful of times.
Sam, too.
It was kind of forgettable.
But,
yeah. I'm trying to forget that one. Was that Boston?
The Rock.
That was the LeBron.
We're not going to be afraid to reach out moving forward.
Absolutely. You know, where are you, Steve, by the way? Where are you?
I'm in the Ash commentary booth up at World Feed right now. Mary Carrillo is trying to kick me out of her so she can get ready for a night session call, but...
Oh, yeah, we broke 4 blocks from each other, Mary and I.
Yeah,
so we have a long history together, starting with playing the mixed doubles. You know, that's my big win when I was 18, won the mixed doubles at the French.
I did not know that.
See, you learn something new every day on this pod.
What was the prize money back then?
The prize money was $60 a day in expenses since I was an amateur. You know, the first year, here's a question for you guys. First year I won the U.S. Open, I know it was a long time ago, 79. How much did I win to win it?
52,000.
63,000.
No, not that much. I'm going to say 38,000.
39. Whoa, wow.
Good call.
Thank you.
That's pretty strong.
Well, you're about the same age. So.
I'm just aging a lot quicker, you know.
Yeah, but, you know, you adjust for inflation. What do you think that is now?
We already checked that. It's only like 170.
Okay.
200. Even if it was
$500. You're right. That's like, what am I talking about? 39 grand can't.
Just go right back to square one with your numbers.
The inflation
in
the
1891.
You know what? I just wanted to say adjust for inflation and act like I'm smart.
What do you guys think of the fact that the college...
My pod, you want to check it out? Here,
I just want to... I'm sorry, Chris.
You got to prep for college football right now.
Yeah.
Sorry.
This is the who's who today of the podcast guests.
Now we're going on to the women's draw. We didn't even mention Djokovic. He won in four sets. Didn't look that great, but...
What's going on with Novak? He's finally looking his age a little bit. What do you think? Mentally, and then he doesn't really want to maybe, I don't know. He's dug so deep, but he seems like he's not right. But then it didn't matter, right? He's still there. But
it seems like he might have finally hit a wall. But he looked sprightly on the practice court today, than he did 2 days ago.
But he might be, he might need to like, you know, to just get the body going. He hasn't played since Wimbledon. So maybe it takes him a day or two to like get the body going. And, you know, he's going to catch a stride. I think he's going to make the semis and then it's game on.
Yeah.
He looks sprightly.
Sprightly.
I said,
you used the word Novak and sprightly.
Yeah. Yeah. So good. You could see he hasn't been looking. That's a good word.
I thought it's a good word, but it's a bad word for him. I don't think he's been looking sprightly.
It doesn't sprightly imply like
terrible so far. Like
doesn't
sprightly
like you know, he's gotta, like, fall you know, over. Step in his step. Yes, on the practice court. I mentioned on the practice court today.
I heard you. I saw it. It was more of the choice of word that I was laughing at.
Okay, fair enough. Thank you.
I trust Mr. Fowler over Mr. Isner in a dictionary game here. Okay.
That's a good point.
I'm
saying he hasn't looked sprightly up until today, is what I was saying on the practice court.
He looked more youthful.
Who's he playing now?
He plays Cam Norrie, which is going to be tough.
Cam Norrie making battle.
Yeah,
Cam will make him play physically. Yeah. But if he's on his game, it'll be straight sets for Novak.
They played at Roland Garros, and I made a prediction on this podcast that Cam was going to take him to 4 or 5 sets, and he lost like 2-2-1.
Couldn't have been more wrong.
You also made a prediction. I heard I think it was yesterday, that said it would be if Novak lost that first set.
Yes.
That would be affect him more than his opponent.
I said, and I took it back. It was a bad call, horrible call, and I said it on air on national TV. I said, but at the time, he looked horrible. Yeah. He's keeled over in a first set tiebreaker.
He was not looking sprightly yesterday. Let's just say that.
No, I said that, dare I say, this first set might be more important to Novak when he was looking as poorly as he did physically in the first set.
Man, you're good at predictions.
What about this guy, Schweider? What's happening with the young players of today? Because they always dog us about we look like dinosaurs and we couldn't move. I'm talking about back in the 70s and 80s. Mm-hmm. And this guy plays two sets maybe in 70-degree weather with no humidity and cramps. What's going on there?
I talked to him yesterday. He was so uptight. He didn't take a breath. He's like, I couldn't feel like I could take a breath for the first 90 minutes of the match. And he basically was like, I cramped myself. Like I didn't do anything good for my body. I didn't take a breath. And I thought he'd actually loosen up after he won the first set, but he said he actually got more nervous because like he was closer to winning, really, which was, I guess, understandable, but it's a big moment. He'd never been on Ash, so I guess he just, the nerves got the best of him.
And Tien's cramped also against when he was playing.
Against
Novak.
Yeah, on Sunday.
Two guys, three young sets, guys straight that sets. You would think make them play. The guy's twice your age. Yeah. Get in some wrong rallies and they're cramping?
It's a bad look for the youngsters. It is a bad look.
It's a bad look for Southern California tennis right now. I don't like that.
Yeah. It's true. But it's the nervous cramps, not like physical conditioning cramps.
I would assume so.
Yeah.
What's the difference? Since
I don't really know. I think when you're deep into a match and you're like, your body's low on everything it needs and you start to cramp, it's really hard to recover from that, but you can maybe recover from the nervous cramps, I guess. That's never happened.
Maybe. I've never had it.
Yeah. But he said that by the end of the fourth set, the cramps went away, but it was too little too late at that stage.
Do they take a lot of supplements now? Or is there some like creatine thing? I remember back in the day when they were claiming that that's all Mark McGwire took, but people were taking it. and then, you know, but it does dehydrate you. So you need some. Apparently I tried it 30 years ago or whatever.
Yeah,
when I was, desperate to do anything.
Yeah.
And it seems like you got to drink tons of water. You might cramp up, and maybe these guys think they're getting stronger or something.
On the creatine, yeah.
I don't know what they're taking these days.
I'm on a creatine load right now, but answering your question.
Hey, hit Johnny Mac with a couple predictions.
Okay.
Just tell us who you think's going to win these matches.
Okay. All right. Tiafoe Struff.
I'm going Tiafoe.
Okay. Djokovic, Nori.
Djokovic. Going on a limb.
I'm not going to ask you Sinner versus Shapovalov. What are some tasty third rounds?
Actually, I wanted to coach way back when there was a thought of coaching Dennis, because he's sort of, people would always ask me, who's a player of today that may be sort of somewhat similar to what you brought to the table? No one's serving in volley anymore, obviously. But he had a lot of lefty firepower. His old agent was an old friend of mine. I've known him for 30, 40 years. He's like, you got to coach him. And then I thought, this could be interesting. Yeah. But then the mom might have gotten in the way. Didn't happen for whatever. Or maybe Dennis didn't want. I don't know. I thought there was something that could have worked. And now this is 7, 8 years later, and Dennis is not in the mix. Didn't he get the top 10?
He got the top 10. He got 10 in the world.
Semifinal Wimbledon.
Quarters or semis here. He had the breakthrough. I don't know. I know he had a knee problem, but still, like, there's, he's like a chicken with his head cut off.
No, and he just flails away at times and makes so many mistakes and double faults. But he's returning really well so far. But he plays against the best player in the world.
Probably not going to happen.
Probably not going. Okay.
Yeah.
This is a good one. If they both win. Tommy Paul is playing second night match tonight, and Alexander Bublik.
Oh, that's the best third round matchup.
That'd be a good third round.
You don't want to play Bublik. No,
nope.
He's out of his mind. He makes me look normal.
No, no. Bublik's normal
good.
Now.
That's good.
I know.
The old Bublik, yeah.
The old Bublik was, you know, you just hung with him for a bit before he tapped out and started, you know, pulling these stunts. Now, all of a sudden, he seems to be trying consistently.
Yes, I know.
And that's why he's could be top. No one wants to play him.
He's good from the Huge back of the court, too.
He's damn good. I want Tommy. If Tommy's not 100%, I'm worried about that. I would pick Bublik. If Tommy's not 100%, I don't think he is.
I got Bublik too.
We're
pro Tommy Pod.
Tommy, but he's got some, you know, things he's got to deal with.
Yeah. All right. Well, they both still have to win tonight.
Tommy plays tonight.
Second night match. He's on Ash.
Izzer and I are on the call together.
Yes.
Just you two.
No,
Jason Goodall as well.
So you don't have to listen to us.
I would love to see a solo broadcast with just you two boys.
Two on the booth, he's on the court.
Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah. How do you like that court thing? Because that seems a little...
My least favorite role that I've had so
75
far.
Degrees and cloudy and a little bit of wind.
What are the wind conditions?
Also, new at ESPN, I'm not about to march into the production office and throw in my demands.
Why don't you?
I'll happily
sit on the court and give the weather.
Yeah,
I had to move yesterday because I got so hot. I was in the suit.
Yeah,
the
that's
sun.
Awful. That's why I was like, keep me away from.
No, you're not a court today. Guy. You're a booth guy. We know that. Yeah, we're court guys. That. Yeah, we're court guys.
And you work your way up.
You work your way up.
But we didn't have that. That was the beauty when I first came on.
Yep.
So I lucked out. Why don't you
want to try it?
I'm going to leave that to you. You look so comfortable, you two down there, those seats.
No leg room.
There's so much room.
I know, it's not. It's
and then I saw you doing an opening with, was it yesterday? You were standing up and, it in Louis Armstrong?
Last night with Chris Fowler, the cameras, it's a weird angle, so height discrepancy.
You're 6'11", though, right? You're not
6'10".
6'11",
but...
Well, I'm at 5'11". They say I'm 5'11", but I'm actually way closer to 6 feet. You got a measurement?
I can tell you this much. I can't stand up straight in this bus, so I know that much. What are you talking about, Chris? You and Fowler last night.
I think that's what John.
No, but I saw John. Am I or did it be you? Because you're only 6'6". This guy.
So imagine if it was me.
Maybe it was Sam. Maybe it was Sam. I don't know.
So y'all did an open. I didn't see that.
You guys
Sam.
Look.
Y'all did an open.
We did an open.
Okay. All right. Real quickly, I don't hate to do it, but we have to, right? Everyone's talking about it. The match from yesterday. You know, like we got to talk about it. Ostapenko. We're moving on to the women's side. Sorry. Ostapenko and Taylor Townsend. We gotta unravel this. What do we think, Sam? You actually gave your thoughts on it last night in the telecast.
Ostapenko is like out of control. No one likes her in the locker room, I don't think.
A lot of antics out there.
But like Townsend handled it perfectly. Let her racket do the talking. She gave a great press conference at the end. At the end of the day, she won. She's got the last laugh.
I don't believe that you should say you're sorry when you hit a let court in the first place. Who gives a damn about that? That's total BS.
And it wasn't a dead let court either. It was like
the only
she got
thing more
to
annoying
easily.
To me than that is when doubles players high five when they miss a return.
Yeah, that's pretty annoying. Pretty annoying.
You ever get in a fight with a player on the court?
Did I ever not get in a fight
court? What's the biggest? You ever like throw a swing?
Never threw a
punch.
What was the tensest exchange you ever had at a handshake?
It's hard to remember.
Just if you can.
I think once Vince Van Patten gave me one of these. Here, I'll show you. Shake my hand.
Oh,
no.
What was the score in that match?
I don't remember the score. I just remember the handshake.
But you won. Okay.
He threw me off. But we're still friends now. We live like 2 minutes from each other.
That's good. You guys buried the hatchet.
We overcame it. It took a while, you know. It took a while. He gave me that. I was like, wait a minute. I know he's a decent actor, but that's bullshit.
All right. I got one more for you, Johnny Mac, before we let you go. By the way, thank you so much.
I got one more, too.
You go.
Do you have a freaking flyer number and like? Are you into that at all? I always wonder. Are you a guy that like pays attention to that? Is there ever like a mileage ticket? You're like, hey, this is a great deal. I'm going to use miles.
I don't always, you know, because my kids always want to get in on it. And I'm like,
The kids have to.
I call my agent, and I go get the frequent flyer miles for him. But the only problem is my wife he says, Gary's taking the frequent flyers. He's using it himself. I'm like, no, God.
Your agent's stealing your frequent flyer miles. They're like,
Gary Spring, stop stealing my frequent flyer miles.
That would annoy me. But if you went to log in, you had 300,000 less miles. Like, that would. Like,
if it's one flight, you know, no big deal. But if it's a lot.
I always want to ask that to, like, Federer or Alcaraz.
Well, they don't. Do they fly commercial?
I don't know. Federer, does he think he's going to?
Hey, no, I caught up with Carlos yesterday. He says he's flying commercial overseas.
Oh, overseas.
Man. Yeah. Overseas. Different.
Everywhere else, they're just all milking it.
You know what, Sam? I can't top that question.
Yeah, that's a good question.
We'll have to get John back for a proper sit down now that we know we can approach him and ask.
Yeah. Together, gentlemen. Thanks for having me.
Yeah,
you're the man, Johnny Mac. Thank you so much.
No worries, man. You got
he is extremely approachable.
I thought I was.
So. No, you are. You're very approachable.
See you, Johnny.
Thank you. That was unbelievable. What a cameo.
What is going on in this podcast today?
I also feel bad I was sitting on Chris Fowler's computer the whole time. I didn't realize that.
He's up for college.
I know.
Why is that so funny?
I don't know.
Oh, my gosh. I think so. These impromptu pods are, I think, we gotta
record more in the bus.
We record more. Yes. We'll get Chris Fowler. We'll get him in here for like a full 15-minute, 20-minute sit down. Talk college football. Talk tennis.
Yeah.
Who else?
I mean, who else on the team here? We got
Scott Van Pelt, maybe, if he comes back.
SVP, that would be unbelievable.
Yeah.
Guys, you guys are moving the needle over there in the ESPN bus.
We've had so many good guests.
Yeah. All right.
This has been a great pod, boys. I've enjoyed it.
We really recapped round two.
No, I think I feel like we did. That was way better. And then we did pretty well. Again, Tommy Paul still has to play. Boo Boo still has to play. Coco Gauff still has to play her match tonight. She remind me, she plays against a tough match.
Plays Donna Vekic.
Donna Vekic, yeah. Exactly. And a potential Osaka match looms for Gauff in the round 16, I believe. Potential.
Yeah.
So I wish we could have unwrapped that.
We
had John McEnroe pop on the pod, so we'll do that in a few days.
So we predict a couple of the women's matches real quick.
Okay, what are the best round threes? Emma Navarro plays Krejcikova, who's unseeded, which is crazy. But she crushed Sam's girl, Maboko, in the first round. I like Emma. Give me Emma. She's playing. I love Emma's game. Like, love it.
Got her confidence back. I'll take Emma in that one as well.
Rabakina Raducanu, that's a good one.
Raducanu, my new pick to win the tournament, Raducanu.
No, I'm taking Rabakina.
I'm taking Raducanu. She looked good.
Yeah, Raducanu, straight, like three, like pretty easy.
Pegula Azarenka, like on paper, it sounds like a super, tasty matchup, but I'm going Jessie easy.
I am too. Pegula easy.
I'm going Jess easy.
Yeah, I'm taking Jess in that one over Azarenka.
Vondrosova, Paulini.
She's my favorite women's player.
So we have two Wimbledon champions unseeded in Krejcikova and Vondrousova.
Yeah.
And Krejcikova won the French Open as well, Roland Garros. So good matches. All right, last update before we close the bracket challenge. We had almost 7,000 entries. That's a record. We went from like 1,500 to 4,000 to 7,000 almost. Yeah. And Stevie, you're in the top 10% right now. Sam, and you're in the bottom 10.
A lot of tournament left.
Jack and I somewhere in the middle. So good job, Stevie. Congratulations.
Sam keeps this up. He'll be singing a jingle for us on the next one.
We didn't agree to that, by the way.
Honestly, we did not agree to that. It never was agreed, but I want to look at the standings and see if I have a comfortable lead. Then I'm going to say we did agree to it.
Yeah.
Sing a jingle. All right, we went a little long, but
yeah.
John McEnroe popped in.
Exactly.
Unbelievable. That's what Nothing Major provides for you guys.
I know.
That was awesome. Stevie, thanks. Jack, we missed you. Good luck in Vegas.
I just had an idea. Can we get these celeb lists of people at the tournaments?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we can just like wrangle them in here somehow.
Yeah, but you just made fun of them all. They don't want to come.
I'm going to get the good ones.
Okay.
I'm going to get the good ones.
Okay. All right, that's it. We'll see you in a few days.